It is a great privilege and an honor for us to come here and be loved by you and be supported by you. We are thankful for the many, many years that we have been partners in taking the Lord's name and glorifying him in other countries, countries that are unreached, countries that do not have beautiful churches like this. In fact, I'm jealous. I wish I could just bottle you up and take you with me when we go back to the field. Your love and your hope and your joy in the Lord is just contagious. It's something that I wish all of us and everyone in the world could just see this. I'm sure we would affect the world if we had windows all around us. We just want to praise God for that and just thank you. I was very concerned about leading today because following someone like Colin, and I've been around many great pastors and preachers, and I just love to study and I love to hear what God has to say, and then I don't like to hear what I have to say. But you know, God speaks to us all the time, and God uses us all the time. When we're obedient and submissive to him, he will bless us, he will encourage us. Whether you're a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 100-year-old, if we are obedient and submissive to God, he will work in our lives and bless us. And so it was with great affirmation that the worship music this morning was just so wonderful. It was like 4 sermons as well, and that they matched perfectly with what I want to share. So I was like, wow, okay, I'm not going to be off key here. I'm going to be in tune with the theme and the love and the hope of this church. I mean, some of the words in the first song was, everything is different. Everything is different. Why is it different? Is it different in your life? Another song, your grace has set me free. You set my heart on fire. Our hearts should be on fire. And then we said, be glorified in me. You know, we could say that, be glorified in us, the church. And then another worship hymn was, give me a heart like your heart, beating for the lost. Give me a heart like your heart, O Lord. And so that was the reason I became a person who wants to reach the unreached. Because I started to develop a heart like the Lord's heart, and I started to read and study God's word. And I found out through study and from sermons and attending a church just like this, that God's heart beats for the lost. He is a seeking God. He seeks after the lost. You know, we have lost souls in our families, maybe in our neighborhood, our cousins, our friends, people at the work, they're lost, but there are also lost people around the world. And so God's heart beats for them all. And so as I grew in my faith and grew in my teaching, and while I was working in Washington, D.C. one year, I just looked around and go, this is not what God's heart's beating for. Just working here, there's no openness. There's no one interested in being coming to church with me. There's no one interested in the gospel. So, but maybe there are people around the world who are interested in the gospel. And so I quit my job and went to an agency and said, do you have any short-term trips going overseas? And they said, well, you're the answer to our prayers. I've never been the answer to prayer before. But they said, we have 2 people signed up to go to China and Tibet, but we always have 3 on a trip. And if you had not come, we would have canceled the trip. So you're just a great answer to prayer. And so I quickly joined that trip, and we went to China. We went through Inner Mongolia into Tibet, and we were handing out Christian literature. And believe it or not, everyone took it and began reading it right away. It was a message that they have never heard before. It was a message of hope and a message about God that they had never heard before. And that just affected my heart, that there are people who are just walking blindly in the darkness who have never heard of God's word, and we can be used of that. But, you know, I would have never gone on that trip if I didn't have people praying and supporting me. I had people from my job and I had people from my church who quickly gave enough money for me to make this trip. And then I felt like I was their ambassador, not only God's ambassador in that country, but the church's ambassador. And that's what being an M is all about. It's being an ambassador for Christ, but also being this church's ambassador. So while my wife and I and our family are overseas, we think constantly about Durwood Bible Church and your prayers and your support continually and daily and monthly refresh us. And so we just want to thank you and encourage you all to be greatly involved in the ministry of reaching the lost. Our text this morning is a normal text. It's the Great Commission. Being in the work I am, I hear this all the time. It's very regular to me. I study this. I go deeply into it. I parse it. I don't know if churches are teaching this very much in the U.S., but it's one of our themes. It's one of the messages that we look to all the time to give us encouragement. And the Great Commission is found in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I encourage you, no matter how old you are, how young you are, to bring your Bibles to church. Because there are in some countries where holding a Bible gets you arrested. There are some countries in the world where if you're walking with the Bible, they'll kick you out of the country. Because they don't want the Bible. They don't want God's word in their country. They're afraid of it. They hate it. But here in the U.S., here in this area, the Bible is permitted. And it's just a great, great thing to carry and read and study. And to know God's word is the support that we need to live a life that pleases God. Matthew 28, the last few verses, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When I first began studying this and telling Colin what I was going to do, I had the theme that I was just going to take these verses and really go deeply and really explain each part. But the Lord has led me to bring an original message here. This has not been shared with any other church. It comes at the verses in a different way. But I don't want to, I do want to do justice to this. So I will come back to this and explain some of the parts to it. But I want to begin by, as reading this, that Jesus is saying, go. And I want us all to ask ourselves, why? I grew up a very inquisitive boy. I was the son in the family. I had two other brothers. But I was the one that always asked my father, why? We're going over here. Well, why? We're going to visit your grandmother. Well, why? I mean, does anyone have a son or a child that's always asking why? I'm the only one? Okay. I hope there are a few. But, you know, my father had great patience. My mother had great patience. Yeah, okay, let's tell them why. And I have a daughter who asks why. And sometimes I neglect to tell her why. I just say, well, just do it because I said so. It doesn't work out well that way. But if I explain and am patient, it works much better. So people with young children, just be patient and gracious and explain why. But I ask God why all the time. I ask myself why. Even before I met my wife, my wife Cindy, before we got married, I said, why should I get married? And God explained why. Why should I go to this field? God explained why. Why should I do what I'm doing? God explained why. So when you're reading the Bible, read it and try to understand, well, why? Why should we go? Well, here's why. Christians are unique people. We are different than the rest of the world. As that song said, we are different. We are changed. There's no one else in the world like a Christian. Do you believe this? Yeah. You agree? All right, George. Thank you. I have my amen choir right here. We don't think like the rest of the world. We don't live like the rest of the world. Our purpose in the world is different. We are unique. Why are we unique? Because 1 John 5:19 says, this is John's letter, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Christians belong to God. When we become believers in Jesus Christ, we have been, as the music said, set free. We are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to the domain of Satan. We have been set free. We have been set free from the darkness and brought into the light. Because we've done that, we are now adopted as God's family, as His children. God has opened His arms and accepted us as His children, as God's children. I mean, as a child, you know, you always want your father to be the kind of father that will protect you. And as I grew up thinking, you know, wherever we go, if there's some kind of danger, will I jump in and protect my children? God will protect us and watch over us. We are in His hands, His care, His loving arms. And because of that, we are different. We are changed. We have a hope that the rest of the world doesn't. We have a peace that the rest of the world doesn't have. And we have a joy that the rest of the world doesn't have. This joy is God's joy. This peace is God's peace. This hope is God, the hope of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and that we will one day spend eternity in heaven with Him. The rest of the world doesn't have that. So as you read the Bible, you see that as we get to know God, it changes our worldview to His worldview. We become more like God, thinking, wanting, desiring the things of God rather than the things of the world. And it's kind of hard to do that sometimes. Is being a Christian easy? No. It can be difficult, especially in other countries. But it can be difficult here. The rest of the world wants you to do this, buy this, do this. I mean, how many times do you see commercials saying, if you just buy this, you'll be happy? If you just buy this, you'll be healthy. If you just do this or go to this place, you'll have fun or joy. But not all of those things will pass one day. But the things that are eternal are God's joy and God's love. And because of that, we are infected with that hope, peace, love. We are different. In fact, we are so different that in the book of John, 1 John, He defines believers as overcomers. Let's go to 1 John 5, 4. I love to hear pages, people going, following. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Verse 5, "Who is he who has overcome the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" This word overcomes is a word that means victory, and not only victory, but conquering, saving victory. And it doesn't mean just one time, but it means constant. So as believers in Jesus Christ, God is saying you will become overcomers of this world. This world, with all of its evil and all of its problems, will not affect you. And you won't be burdened by it, but you will overcome it. In fact, in John, the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus uses the same word to describe Himself. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we know Jesus does. And we know He did overcome the world. But do we know that we are overcomers now, that we are believers in Jesus Christ? We have that authority and that power has been given to us. And so we need to live like that. We need to believe it and live like overcomers. This verse conveys the idea that believers who are united with Jesus Christ will have continual victory over this world. Isn't that great news? Isn't that wonderful news? We can just jump for joy to know that we're no longer like them. We're no longer burdened, fearful, pursuing things that don't matter. We are united with Jesus Christ, and all of that victory and power and glory is being shared with us as God's children. Think about that for a second. Let it sink in. You know, we can become burdened. Any day we wake up, we could wake up on the wrong side of the bed. We could not have our coffee just right. Or we could have a traffic accident or just going to work and it just makes our day blue. It could be a rainy day. You know, there are some people who get really depressed on a rainy day. But there are some people who love rainy days. They come alive on rainy days. It may sound weird, but my older daughter Megan says she loves rainy days. I can't think like that or feel like that. But we as believers are united with Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. And because we are with Jesus Christ, He will protect us. Romans 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or distress or nakedness or peril or even the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nothing in this world today, no created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Oh my goodness, that is just a message of great hope and faith that just puts roots in our faith so it goes down deep. Roots like a tree that go deep so that when a windstorm comes, the tree doesn't crack and break, but that we bend and are supported by Jesus Christ. So the message of the Bible is two messages. It's a message to unbelievers, those who have not yet come to Christ. It's a message of hope. It explains that unbelievers lived in darkness, that unbelievers are blind, that unbelievers are weak and burdened, enslaved to sin, under the dominion of the evil one, that they're separated from God because of sin, and that their destiny is not heaven, but the other place. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been brought out of this darkness. We have been freed from slavery of sin. We have been adopted as children of God. We have fellowship with the God that created this world. And even more than that, we have fellowship with the God that created us. I may have a different view of the world than a lot of people, but when I see a believer in Jesus Christ, that to me is more beautiful than the most beautiful waterfall, the most beautiful mountain, the most beautiful pasture, the most beautiful bird, the most beautiful animal, or the most beautiful natural scenery. But when a person comes to Christ, it is the most glorious thing I've ever seen. And I think that's what's happening in heaven. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, the angels rejoice. So God has a seeking heart. He seeks people to bring Him in. Then He protects them. He loves them. And then He gives them power and authority to live as victors in this world. Once we were lost, but now, praise God, we are saved. And the church is where God's at work. When Jesus gave the authority in Matthew 28, He gave it to the church. He passed the baton on like in a race. And the church, believers in Jesus Christ, are a different breed. 1 Peter says, "But you believers are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His light. Once we were not a people of God, but now we are a people of God. We did not obtain mercy, but now we have." That relationship with Jesus Christ is everything. There's nothing greater. I'm a third culture kid. I've traveled a lot. My father was in the military. Even at 2 years old, he served in Libya in the American Air Force. So we moved there. We moved back to the U.S. We traveled a lot, seen a lot of places, done a lot of things. But they're just starting to jumble up. I don't really remember things 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But I do remember people that have come to the Lord. I do remember the very first time I shared with someone in prison and gave him a tract, and he became a Christian. These are things that are eternal. And so God has explained in His Word that as believers, we are to be about something. We are to have a purpose. So anyone, whether you're junior high, elementary school, whether you're a senior citizen, that as a believer, you have a purpose. That purpose is not to retire. That purpose is not to develop money and goods enough to keep you happy. That purpose is to worship God, just like in this church, in faith action. It's to worship God and to bring the world to glorify God, pursuing God's name, pursuing God's fame. In fact, in God's word, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, but has committed to us this word of reconciliation. And verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Although, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So that's what I do overseas. That's what I do here. That's what we should all do. This responsibility of being an M or a ambassador for Christ is just not for the few who are bold and who stand up on the stage or who go overseas. It's for every single person who counts himself as a Christian. So I would like for you to right now turn to your neighbor, left and right, and say, it is our responsibility. We are ambassadors for Christ. Parents will help their children. And by the way, children can help their parents stay on track. Sometimes a child's mind is one track. He wants to do it over and over. We've had children who support us and pray for us for many years because they love the Lord. But it is our responsibility. So what are you doing as an ambassador? You're helping people come out of the darkness. Isaiah 9 says, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So one of the symbols that we've had as a family has been a lighthouse. That's on our newsletter, if you've seen it. It's a lighthouse. A lighthouse is a beautiful thing. It stands on a cliff overlooking the sea. The lighthouse beams its light out. Well, why? So that ships won't come into the cliffs and crash. It shows the ships exactly where they are, how close they are to rocks. It protects and helps people. So every Christian, whether a senior citizen or elementary school, can be an ambassador, can be a light. They can take that light of Jesus into the schools, into the communities, into your job. Because these people are going to crash. But as a lighthouse, we are showing the way to God. In fact, as a special note for this church, I changed my Bible cover from my normal Middle East cover to a special Bible cover that I found. And it's a lifeguard Bible cover. Isn't this a great symbol as a Christian? Without lifeguards, people drown. Without lifeguards, people don't know what's in the sea. It could be sharks, could be anything. Lifeguards help people. They save people. As Christians, we're the same way. We help people. We help people get saved. And so it's just a great privilege that we are that way. Back to the text. We've answered the question, why? Because we are different. Because we are of God. Because the rest of the world isn't. Because the rest of the world is in darkness. Because the rest of the world is under the dominion of Satan. And they're not going where we're going. But this is why we go. So the text says in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven. Jesus has complete authority over everything. Through his death and resurrection, he's now able to give eternal life to his children. He's now able to pass the baton on to the church. And he's able to pass his power and authority to the believers in the church. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Not just go and share the word. Not just go and hand out tracts. God is more interested in having the people believe and become his disciples. A disciple is someone who submits to God, who loves God, who learns from God, and wants God to infiltrate his life and show him how to live this life so that we can be lighthouses here. You can be a lighthouse in your own family. If you have two children, one child, if you're just single, you can still be a lighthouse with your friends. You know, I would rather have a child who is a lighthouse come to us and say, "Hey, Dad, that wasn't so good. Your words were unkind." Or, you know, "Dad, let me give you some marriage tips." It's humbling, but it's happening. But that's much better than having the child be the darkness. So it's just wonderful to see your family just blossom as a Christian. And so today's dedication is that purpose, isn't it? That they're praying, and that as a church we're going to pray that those little children will blossom as children of God someday and be lighthouses wherever they go. And then making disciples, that is the purpose of the church. As people come into these doors, we're to share with them, evangelize them, but we are also to make disciples. We're to help them see that by loving God and giving God all of your heart, you will come into a new relationship with Him and be given new power and authority and be ambassadors for Christ, for Him. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our God is the triune God. He's just not the Father. He's just not the Son. And He's not just the Holy Spirit. But all three are important. All three are important. The Bible explains it very well. The Holy Spirit was God's gift to us as Jesus left. The Holy Spirit is in His place, living in each one of us. I mean, in the past, the people were following Jesus, and when Jesus wasn't around, they were without the Spirit of God there. But Jesus has given us this Holy Spirit, and we can live and understand His Word and live as Christians with the hope of the Holy Spirit. And we're to teach them to observe all things. Not just some of the verses, not some commands. We don't go to the New Testament, or we don't go to the Ten Commandments and I'm going to choose these first five to live by. I'm going to choose the first five books of the New Testament to live by, but forget the others. It's everything. And by taking everything, we come to know God in a way that we didn't know before. You know, since I've been married and since I live with my wife, I've got a new understanding of what God is about, because God's in her just as much as in me. And we bring different sides of God that we didn't see before. And then it ends with, "I am with you always." Amen. God is saying, if you obey, if you're doing these things, I will be with you. I won't leave you. I won't leave you open to the attacks of Satan. I will be there to protect you. I will be there to give you the authority to take the word. I will give you the authority and power to teach the word and to proclaim it around the world. And then He said, He has authority over life and death. So whether we live or die, isn't it better to live as Christians and die as a Christian than to live as a weak Christian or an unbeliever and to die that way? Most certainly. I would rather die taking God's word to a foreign country than to be sitting in a cabin as a monk or in a monastery. What is the purpose? Why do we have that purpose? So as believers, we're about the worship of God. We get the joy and the hope from sharing the word. We get the joy and the hope of helping unsaved people come to Christ. And we get the joy of helping believers learn and grow in their new relationship. We've been overseas, my wife and I, for 22 years. We've had a lot of dry years where not much has happened. We'll just continue planting the seed. But in the last 4 years, there have been several believers that have come to Christ through our team. And they are just so beautiful. I mean, one woman, when she came to Christ, she came 100%. She had her backpack with her Bible, with her notes from all the past sermons. She had photocopies that she was giving out. "Oh, you're a newcomer. Here's what was preached last week, last month, last year." I mean, she's just on fire. She's just her home. She telephones people. She invites women to her home. She loves the Lord with all of her heart, all of her mind, and all of our soul, which is everyone's goal, isn't it? So the Great Commission is a command, not just to a few, but to everyone. And so there are people who have said that every saved person should be concerned for every lost person. Not just because of the place we're going, but because they are so empty and hopeless. They fill their lives with going to music concerts, or having a birthday, or their new cell phone. or getting a new car, and that brings them temporary joy, but it fades. The only joy that lasts is the relationship with Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission is a personal message. It's the message to the church and a message to each one of us. It's our responsibility. It's my responsibility. Turn and look to your partner again and say, the Great Commission is my responsibility. The Great Commission is our responsibility. And I don't share this lightly, but I share this to say, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've worked in D.C. for several years. I've traveled to China and Tibet. I've lived in a Middle East country. But the greatest joy I have is when I do obey and I do God's work and He blesses me with such peace and hope and joy that I've never experienced before. And to see a believer come to Jesus is greater than climbing a mountain or biking or running a marathon or anything that this world says is fun. And I'd just like to encourage that that's what we're about, and to share that with everyone else. To love God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, and by accepting His baton. You know, a lot of people think that being an M in another country is dangerous. It is. It is. But if you're obeying God, you're in His hands. He's going to protect you just as much in the Middle East where there's a war as in Washington, D.C., or in Philadelphia, or in another city where there's protests, there's car wrecks, there's break-ins. We are protected by God as His children. And so God is about the business of seeking the lost and building His church. And Satan is about stopping that. And so God is saying, when you obey me, I will be with you. To have the presence of God in your family, in your life, is such a precious thing. And so as believers today, I'd just like to encourage you. It is difficult. But, you know, getting married is difficult. Raising children is difficult. But aren't we joyful in our marriages? Aren't we joyful in having children? And how much greater that joy is when we're part of God's family, doing the same thing that God wants, having the same heart and mind that God wants. And today, it is so easy to be involved. If you don't want to go yourself, you can support an M, whether it's our family or other families. You can be involved. Facebook, emails, everything is easy now. I mean, just to get a message, hi, this morning while having toast and eggs, I prayed for you. You're supporting, you're encouraging. Oh, your children's birthday is when? I'm going to send them a little card. I just watched this great video, or I just read a new Christian book. I'd like to send that to you. Tell me who you're working with so that you have a list, whether it's our family or another's family. These are the people that you're working with. These are the people you're discipling. I'm going to pray for those people. So it's really easy to get involved in work today, overseas field work. So I just encourage you, accept the baton that Jesus is wanting to pass on to you. Get involved. And the joy and the peace that you have will be the best this side of heaven. Thank you. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, for your call and your desire for the world to know your name. People around the world are dying and going to hell because there's no one to tell them. People are not accepting you because they don't know the truth. So we want to thank you for the work that's going on both in this community and around the world, that DBC is about taking the word to Africa, Europe, Middle East, Asia, so that others there will have a chance to hear you. Thank you, God, for this wonderful church and for its involvement in MWork. And we thank you, God, that you will just continue to bless this wonderful body of believers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.